Knowing where and how to give to God's kingdom can be a challenge for any one person, but all the more so if you're married. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's a beautiful thing when couples agree on how to manage their money, how much to spend and save, but finding agreement on giving is just as important. Today, Bob Dahl shares what he and his wife Leslie have learned about it. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest, Bob Dahl, is Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob joins us weekly to talk about the economy and investing, but today he's going to talk about investing in God's kingdom. Bob, great to have you with us.
Great to be here. Looking forward to it.
Bob, you and Leslie wrote an article for the Gospel Coalition titled, How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple. We'll, of course, put a link to it in today's show notes. I know the two of you have a lot of practical experience in making your giving decisions as a couple, of course, based on God's Word. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, we do. Thankfully, he's instructed us along the way, and we've learned by doing and making mistakes.
Yes. That's exactly right. Well, unpack this for us a bit in terms of some of the keys of what you all have learned.
So I think what we've learned that every Christian either learns or should learn is this is not our money.
Yeah,
it is God's money. He owns it all. And so after a while, we figure out, it's not how much we're going to give, it's how much we're going to keep, and the rest we're going to give away. We recognize that we're on this planet for, you know, kind of a nanosecond, and we're in eternity for eternity.
Yes.
And therefore, focusing on the long term and God's plan becomes so much easier if we really understand that. I think we've also learned, Rob, the older we get, we can't take it with us.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's exactly right.
John D. Rockefeller's accountant was famously asked, how much did John D. leave? And he famously answered, all of it.
That's right.
And that encourages us to give away as well. And I love all Randy Alcorn has wrote on this subject. One that sticks with me is, God prospers us not to raise our standard of living, but our standard of giving.
Yes.
And that speaks volume to us. So they're the general principles that we knew at an earlier age, but I think we really believe and are trying to practice as we get older.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We need to renew our minds. Those are truths that we can anchor our framework for giving on. But how does that foundation, Bob, then inform the actual giving decisions you make?
So it makes us more generous, not to wait, to get started, to be all-encompassing in how we do it. Look, the article is How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple. It implies we've figured it out. This is an ongoing process, Rob.
Sure.
I think, you know, not so much now, although we still have them, but early on, this was a source of a lot of disagreement. How much? Which ones? I mean, Leslie's propensity is always to really focus on a few causes and organizations that we know intimately. And mine, I've never met a charity that I didn't think was good. So therein lies a lot of conflict. And so we've tried to find ways to compromise parameters that help us. For example, Leslie gives approximately 20% away of what we give. I give 20. Now we have veto power over certain amounts, and the other 60 we come to jointly. So we've just learned over time how to do that.
Yeah. We're going to get more deeply into your system, Bob, that you and Leslie have created. And I know you said it's a work in progress, but I want to come back to one piece that I know is important to you. And that is many folks will wait to do their giving at death in terms of their real meaningful giving. And you all really have prioritized trying to give as much away as possible while you're alive, correct?
Yeah, you know the saying, give it away while you know where it's going.
Yeah.
You know, I use the phrase, we'd like for our last check to bounce.
Yes.
The joy of giving is a whole lot more powerful if you do it while you're breathing than when you're 6 feet under, you know?
Yeah, so, that's exactly right.
And causes need the money now, Rob, not when we die.
Yeah, no question about it. So what does it look like to give as a married couple? How can we do that in a way that's productive and with unity, where we can get money connected into God's activity right now, as Bob said? Bob Dahl with us today, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Much more on giving as a couple just around the corner. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you could invite any three people in history to a dinner party, who would you pick? If you were a first century Jew, it would be hard to beat Moses, Elijah, and the promised Messiah. And in Matthew 17, that's exactly who Peter, James, and John see standing in front of them on the mountaintop. Understandably, they get pretty excited about this development, but then a bright cloud overshadows them and the voice of God speaks and they fall on their faces in terror. And then it says, Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And it says that when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one, but Jesus only. Anchor Devotional can help you keep your eyes on Jesus daily. Get started today. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
The level of hostility in our country towards Christians seems to be growing with each passing day. Yet now is not the time to back down. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress teaches how to be salt and light in a culture that's becoming increasingly opposed to Christian values. Don't miss the series called America and the Bible, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Welcome back to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, my good friend Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and Portfolio Manager at Crossmark Global Investments. We're talking about an article that he and his wife Leslie wrote recently. It was published on the Gospel Coalition's website entitled, How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple. What does that look like? What is the process for giving? Obviously, you need to find something that works for you, but I know Bob and Leslie have worked through this and found something that works for them that I think will really be an encouragement to you today. Bob, before the break, you shared that is something as simple as you directing 20 to the ministries you're passionate about, she directing 20% to hers, and then you do the bulk of it, 60% together. That's something that works for you because now you can each have your own ministries and really passions reflected in your giving strategy, right?
Absolutely. Early on, we tried to agree on everything, and it just took forever and created too much disagreement. And we creatively came up with this. And, you know, we're educating each other on the 20 we give individually, so we both understand it. But it's a lot more productive when it goes that way. Leslie knows some ministries intimately that I'll never know intimately, and vice versa. And so let's find ways to express that.
Yeah.
Talk about your giving strategy with regard to the where, because I know you all have developed somewhat of a pyramid and some processes to think about where your giving ends up. Share that with us.
Sure. So we give to over 100 causes. Some of them are individual missionaries. Some are big institutions that we all know about. And we give about 90%, usually ends up being about 95%, to faith-based organizations. Okay. We try to seek balances between, for example, evangelism and discipleship, between feeding the poor in spirit and the poor physically.
Yes.
Geography. It's not all to the U.S., most of my giving, because this is where I spend most of my time, is in the U.S. Leslie does a lot of ministry work in the Middle East, so a lot of the money she designates go into the Middle East. And yes, you mentioned the word pyramid. The ones we know best, the ones we're on the boards, we tend to give the most to.
Yeah.
The ones we know the least tend to be at the bottom of the pyramid, smaller amounts and far more of them, and then a couple of levels in between, Rob.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Bob, how does prayer fit into the process of you and Leslie determining your giving each year?
You know, very importantly, and again, we've learned this over time, it used to be, okay, December 31st is coming. If we're going to do what we're supposed to do from a tax standpoint, we better get the checkbook out. Yeah. And boy, it was a laborious process. As we start earlier, think about it, pray about it individually and together, that gives us a much easier process as we move forward, Rob.
Yeah.
We try to do a better job. I tell people all the time, God gave me 2 ears and 1 mouth. I should do a far more listening than speaking. And that applies to all kinds of subjects, including the giving process with spouse.
Yes.
So that's really important.
Yes.
We try to dig into the organizations, particularly the ones we give the most to, get an update. How's it going?
Yeah.
Take a look at their financials. Take a look at their website. Take a look at their 990s. Who's giving? How much are they giving? And that helps to inform, if we don't know them as well, what it is that God should motivate us to do.
Yeah, and that's a really key point. I mean, Bob, you spend most of your work life analyzing, researching companies. You're very strategic about the investments you're making there as a portfolio manager and CIO at Crossmark Global. You try to be kingdom strategic with your giving, don't you?
Hear, hear. Absolutely. I mean, I just remember, God gave us a brain,
yeah,
and he gave us responsibility. And I like to say, if this were really my money, who cares where I give it? But it's God's money,
yeah,
so we have to be very strategic about how we do it, not just emotional.
Yes.
I mean, we all fall in love with stories.
Yes.
And that can be a good starting point. But it's like when I analyze companies, if I love the product, doesn't make it a good stock.
Mm.
And so you've got to work through. You've got to dig in. You've got to think about it. You've got to pray about it consider what is it that God's calling us to in the giving process.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Some may be asking, where is Leslie today? She was going to join us, but she's off with one of the ministries that she's connected to, which brings us to the point about getting engaged in some of the ministries you're giving to. How is that really important?
So important. If Leslie were here, she would really emphasize that. I remember a bunch of years ago, she said, you know, I feel like a checkbook.
Yeah.
I just write checks. And that started the process to say, we've got to be involved in ministries. Now, there's different stages in life. If somebody's, you know, 32 and they got 3 kids under the age of 4, it's kind of tough to do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But as life progresses and you find more time getting involved in ministries, particularly those that are kind of to the top of your giving pyramid, it's not just your check that God wants. He wants our involvement. He wants our lives. And that's another extension of it.
Yeah. Bob, I know you've served on and continue to serve on a number of boards of directors. Is that something you consider with regard to your giving, trying to get involved at that level?
Absolutely. You know, there are so many wonderful causes and so many wonderful boards to serve on. And when you're on a board, you see the thick and the thin. Yeah. You see the good and the not so good in every organization. And that's informative. And you'll hopefully help it along, not just by writing a check, but by your presence and your ideas along the way. So that's one way to get involved in a ministries is to participate on the board. But there are lots of others as well. Volunteer. If this is an organization you love, go volunteer. Help them do whatever it is that they do. You'll get to know it better, and it'll raise your confidence level.
I love that idea. Bob, what about those that are listening today that are saying, well, I'm delighted to hear that you and Leslie are on the same page, but my spouse and I aren't. I have the giving gift that God has given me. My spouse doesn't really see that as a priority. How do we reconcile that as a married couple?
Yeah, you know, I come back to any reconciliation in a marriage, any subject that creates difficulty, sit down, talk about it, pray about it. When you pray, you generally come together. You know the old triangle, the closer we are to one another in prayer, the closer we become to God, and some of those things will break through. I know that sounds an idealistic answer, but it does work.
Yeah. Bob, just about 45 seconds left. The need is now. There's urgency with regard to the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Would you finish by just challenging our audience today about their opportunity to be connected into God's activity through their giving?
Sure. I come back to remember it's not your money, it's God's money. And you already said it. The time is short. The need is great. And in many cases, the cost is high. So getting started for a lot of people is the hardest part. They might get a little here, give a little there, but get on with it. Decide how much you're going to give away and let it grow over time. Experiment with increasing it, particularly if you've got a lot of savings, which a lot of people do. You don't want to die with $1 million that the hearse has to carry. It's not going to carry it. And if it does, you can't take it with you in the coffin. So start giving it away.
Well said. Let's leave it there. Bob, thanks for stopping by, my friend.
My privilege.
That's Bob Dahl. Again, we'll put the link to the article, How to Plan Your Giving as a Married Couple, in today's show notes. Now, just a quick reminder as we head into this next break, don't call in. Our team is not here today, but we have some great questions we've lined up in advance. Those will be coming just on the other side of this break. A quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Let's go to Oklahoma. Keisha, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is, my husband and I have a couple of savings accounts that aren't really drawing any interest or anything. I just wanted to see what your recommendations would be on that.
Okay. Yeah, so you've got two savings accounts. What are these earmarked for, Keisha?
Just emergency funds. You know, we've had a Bank of America account for about 20 years. We just recently moved to Oklahoma in the last 3 years, opened up a local account at a credit union.
Okay.
So, account there too.
Okay. And what do you have between those two accounts? How much money do you have in there roughly?
Probably $18,000.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so the benefit you have now of rethinking where that money is housed is that you could earn almost $1,000 over the next year on that $18,000 because you can get 5% in a high yield FDIC insured savings account. Now it's going to be an online bank likely. You may find a local credit union that's, you know, trying to compete for some business and willing to match it. But typically to get the higher yield savings, you're going to use an online bank and you'd go to bankrate.com. It'd be one place. You could also go to NerdWallet and just see based on any given day what banks that are, you know, close to 5-star rated, they all have a rating system, offering FDIC insurance with no fees or paying the most attractive rates. And you'll see that today, you know, you can get every bit of 5%. Now, those are, of course, variable and move with interest rates. And so, you know, as the Fed lowers rates, which has probably been pushed out to the fourth quarter of this year, I would guess could be the third quarter, those rates will start to come down. But there's no reason why you wouldn't want, unless you all have talked about one, to open one of those accounts, move that money over, get that 5% right now, and link it to your checking account electronically. And then you'd, even though there's not a physical branch, you could move money back and forth fee-free, you know, with 2 or 3 days through the ACH system. So that would be the alternative. But what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I just feel like if it's growing some, we could give more and help more people. So,
well, I love the idea. If you're,
growing a dollar a month or
right.
every 6 months.
Yeah. So if you can get 5% on the money, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's kind of a stewardship issue, right? And we've got this $18,000. We're being good stewards of the fact that we have an emergency fund. That's great. But why not get a little better return on it? And it's fairly easy to do. So what I'd do is head to bankrate.com or NerdWallet, find the one that you want to go with. You can open the account in 5 minutes online, and then you would just transfer that money electronically in and then just let it sit there till you need it. Now, all of a sudden, you're earning some, you know, real interest. As I mentioned, I mean, you could get $900 over the next 12 months, assuming the interest rate stayed the same, and it won't, but let's say it did. I mean, that's $750 a month that you could be giving away or doing something else with.
Right. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, Keisha, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's head to Montana. Hi, Billy. How can we help?
Hello. So, quick question. My siblings and I have some farmland that we inherited when our dad passed away 8 years ago. It's getting close to the sale being final. And what I'm wondering as far as the capital gains goes is right now I'm single, just kind of not a very great income. If I am going to be married this year, I'm wondering if that added income and filing jointly next year is going to affect whether I have to pay capital gains or not.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. So this is not a property you live on currently, correct?
Well, yeah, there's a farmstead that we had that surveyed off of the land, and I plan on living on that. But I guess it will not be part of the sale. Okay, to answer your question, it'll just be farmland only sale.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, in order to get the capital gains exclusion, you'd have to have this as your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years. And it doesn't sound like you do that. So essentially, the way this works is it depends on your tax filing status for the year in which the capital gains occurred. So if the sale happens this year and in 2025, when you file next year, when you file your 2024 return, and you had the sale in this year and you're filing as tax filing status single, then the capital gains rate would be, you know, up to $47,025. It'd be 0% capital gains. And then from $47,000 to $518,000, it'd be a 15% capital gain rate. If you're married filing jointly for 2024, if this is the year you sell it, it's the 0% up to $94,000. And then 15% from $94,051 to $583,000. So, I mean, you certainly could factor that in, I guess. I mean, I'd probably be more inclined, if the Lord is leading you all to marry and you've gone through premarital counseling and you're ready to do it, I'm not sure I'd let this be the decision maker. But that is a reality that, you know, to your question, yes, your tax filing status will drive your taxable income, which drives which rate you fall into.
Okay, so obviously half of this year will have gone by before we would be married. Even if we do marry this year, is that still an option to file separately next year, like married but file separately?
Yeah, so, you know, after marriage, basically, you consider changing your withholding, and then you typically file the next year. What I would probably do is talk to a CPA about this, just to figure out, based on the timing, when your actual filing status will change. I'm not a CPA. I'd love for you to get some professional counsel on this, especially if you're, you know, making decisions about the sale of property and capital gains. Do you all normally do your own return, or do you normally do your own return?
I do mine. He does have a CPA do his.
Yeah, I would just check in with his CPA and just get an understanding of when will that filing status change for the purposes of capital gain, and then you'll have the information. I think that's your next step. Billy, we appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick open my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But he does expect you to be his ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
The rule of law in our country is being weakened through frequent aggressive attacks by radical progressives. You can count on AFA Action to let you know how our constitutional religious freedoms are being destroyed. You can join the fight by responding to action alerts and by giving to AFA Action today. When you do, you'll help protect our rights and you'll get free access to David Barton's mini-documentary, God in the Constitution. Find out more and give at afaaction.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before we head back to the phones, let me just mention, perhaps you listen to this program regularly. Maybe the Lord has used it in your life and you've been impacted by these principles from God's Word and you'd like to support our work. We'd certainly invite you to do that, and especially now. This is an important time for us to hear from our listeners as we head toward our listener funding goal. And we started with a goal April the 1st for the last 90 days of the fiscal year leading up to June 30th with a goal of $175,000 needing to be received. And the good news is you all have responded. We are so grateful for the giving that has taken place. At this point, we've already seen nearly $100,000 of that come in, which is an enormous blessing. But we still have a little ways to go. With $97,000 in the door out of $175,000, we're still looking for about $78,000 more. So if you could make a one-time gift, or you'd like to become a FaithFi partner with a monthly gift of $35 or more, we'd certainly be grateful. Just head to faithfi.com and click give, or go directly to faithfi.com/give. Either way, we'll take you right into our giving page where you can give online, over the phone, or find the address to mail a gift as well. Thanks in advance. All right, let's head back to the phones to Fort Worth. Hi, Nancy. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question regarding paying off my mortgage. I recently purchased a home, so it's a one-year-old home, new construction, and the one-year anniversary is coming up in the next 30 days. They'll be in here to do an inspection on things that need to be repaired. And so I'm thinking I'm in a good standing as far as not having a cushion for things that may break down. This is my mindset. So here's the money that I'm looking at as far as my question. Should I pay off my mortgage completely? I currently owe $26,000 on the mortgage.
Okay.
And my savings is $30,000, and that would include my emergency fund.
Okay. Yeah,
very good.
I have
no other debt. No other debt.
Okay. Excellent. And what are your total monthly bills, Nancy, when you put everything in, including those things, you know, that don't happen every month, but maybe you're having to build up a little bit and pay them quarterly? Do you have a good sense of what those total monthly expenses are?
Yes. So,
and roughly, it doesn't need to be precise.
I'll say about $2,200 a month.
Okay. So let's round up and think, you know, maybe you're missing a few things in there or something, or things that don't happen every month. So 3 months would be $7,500. And as you said, you don't have any housing related expenses because you're in new construction. And at the 1 year anniversary, they're going to come in and anything that's not working right, they're going to, you know, fix it up anyway. But obviously there are other unexpected, by definition, an emergency fund is for those things we can't anticipate, and they come from any number of directions. They could be medical or any number of other things. But if we had 3 months worth, that'd be $7,500. Now, if you paid this mortgage off, you'd be down to $4,000, which is only, you know, we're talking 2 months, well, not quite, so a little over a month. What would you save every month? What is your mortgage payment? Not the taxes and insurance portion, but just the principal and interest. Do you know?
Well, here's the thing. So when I bought the home, the appraisal on the home, so I purchased the home at 260. I'll round it off. 260K.
All right.
I put the 200 down on the home and had a loan for 60K. So I've paid off up to the 26K, and when I had my appraisal for taxes this year, there was no asset here. So when they did the appraisal, it was land only, and my escrow account was too much for what I needed to cover the principal and everything that goes into my mortgage payment. So they sent me the escrow money and I put it right back on my principal, because my goal was that by the end of the year, when they come, they've already done the appraisal on the home for the next tax year, which will be in January. And I'm at about 240 on the appraisal.
Okay. And what was it initially? Was it half that or less?
It was initially it was just what the land was quite, it was a lot less. It was only coming in at $10,000.
Okay. All right. So it's going to go up dramatically, and you haven't experienced that yet. Now, let me just clarify. Are they still escrowing for property taxes in your mortgage payment, or did you say you're handling that yourself now?
They're still escrowing, but it's based on numbers that are changing, but it's a lot lower.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Initially, I'm sorry?
Initially, it was $550 a month for the escrow.
Yeah.
But then they sliced it and escrow went to about maybe $150.
Okay. Do you have any sense of what that bill is going to be? Have you talked to any neighbors or anything?
Oh, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah. Okay.
And their boat is probably a lot bigger than mine as far as what they're going to have to pay, because I put so much down on my home. But,
okay. Well, I think for that reason, I might wait and do this until after you find out what that bill is going to be. I would imagine you're going to get that pretty soon, right?
For the appraisal value?
No, the new property tax amount that you're going to owe this fall.
Okay, so they're not going to do anything with numbers until December.
Oh, okay. So it'll be for the following year's taxes?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that could be $3,000. I think the key is, or more, I think the key is, if you go with the plan, what is the mortgage payment only, just the principal and interest?
Right now?
Yes.
$308.
And that's principal and interest only, correct? No escrows?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you'd have $308 a month that you could put into savings. And so you'd start off with a month and a half. And then, 6 months later, you said your bills were $2,500. And so we'd have $300. So it'd take you 8 months to get another month worth of expenses. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. We'll finish up on the other side of this break. I have one more question and then we'll get you an answer. I don't want to rush this. So thanks for all that background information. Nancy, we'll finish up on the other side of the break. And then Ellen, John, Rusty coming your way as well. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like, it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Before the break, we were talking to Nancy in Fort Worth. She bought a new construction home about a year ago. It's still under warranty. In fact, at the one-year anniversary next month, they're going to come out and see if anything's not working right and fix it. Wouldn't that be great? She's got, about $7,500 in her savings account. No. What did you say you have? You have $30,000, correct, Nancy, in your savings today?
$30,000 in my savings.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Got it. So she's got $30,000 in savings. She's got a mortgage of about $26,000 remaining on her home. So she's wondering about paying that off, which would leave $4,000. Now, we want her to have an emergency fund of at least $7,500 because that would be 3 months of expenses. She spends about $2,500 a month, she believes. And so that would drop her down to only a little over a month's worth of expenses. So not ideal, but she's in a brand new home and she would be saving that mortgage payment of about $308 per month. The challenge is it's going to take you at $308 per month, Nancy, to get up to my goal of $7,500 for your emergency savings. It's going to take you nearly a year to do that at $308 a month. So here's my last question for you. With your mortgage payment today, do you have any surplus at the end of the month, anything left over, or are you kind of spending right up to the edge?
Well, I'm not at the edge. I have been working part-time, and so that part-time ended yesterday, and that's my concern. If I drop down to just my retirement money that's coming in, and that's $1,536 monthly,
yeah,
and that's not going to be enough.
So
with my retirement benefits.
I see. Okay. So actually, if you just continued on this plan, you'd start having to pull out of savings just to balance the budget with you not working. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah. But if you got rid of the mortgage, you think you could make it work. You just wouldn't really have much left over.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on the edge here. I mean, I don't love this plan, but I can't think of a better option because you are in a brand new home. You still will have $4,000, which is less than I'd like, but it's something, and you're going to be adding you're not going to be adding $300 a month. So you're going to do this just to balance the budget, which means $4,000 is all you would have. And then what happens if when you get that new property tax assessment, your property taxes, you know, go up to $3,000 a year or more. And so what if you had to pull a $2,000 or $3,000 out of that $4,000 and now you're down to just barely breaking even. And at that point, if something unexpected comes, now you're putting it on the credit cards or having to take out another loan. So what about continuing to work part time? Is that an option?
It is.
Okay. I think that's my best option. I'd wait until you get another job part time and continue to make the mortgage payment like you are, get that other job. And then if you get the job, we could take and pay off the mortgage, save the $300 a month. But I think right now I'm concerned about you depleting all of your savings, not having, if you don't get another job, not having, very much left, knowing that this big property tax bill is coming. I just wouldn't feel great about that. I mean, if you had confidence you could find something, you could go ahead and pay off the mortgage to balance the budget, but I wouldn't wait to get that new part-time job because I think you need some more cushion to build that savings back up to where I'd feel good that you're not kind of just running too lean. Does that make sense?
And the only thing was there's this low payment that I have that I'm responsible for now, and I've been putting an extra $1,000 on my principal every month. So I'm thinking now if I paid that off, the $1,000 would go into my savings.
Okay, yeah, that's new information. So you're paying $1,000 more every month on your mortgage, which means you're going to have. I mean, so help me with that. If your mortgage goes away and you don't have the $308 payment, you are still going to and you stopped. So you'd have $1,300 a month. You're telling me extra.
That's the way it was before my income changed on yesterday. So, but that's what I have been paying. Initially, the mortgage payment was $866 with the original loan and numbers.
Okay.
So I just kept it like that, even though the escrow analysis reduced my mortgage.
Yeah.
Instead of paying less or what they assessed it at, I put more on it. I started.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. So here's what I would say. We got to get that part-time job back. So you need to go find some more work. We're just too lean of you eliminating that income. You just don't have enough cushion. So I'm okay with you paying off the house, but only if you go get that other part-time job, okay? Because we need to build that savings back up. And without you having any other income other than your Social Security, it's just too lean and something's going to come out of left field and you're not going to have the resources for it. I hope that helps you, Nancy. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hi, Ellen, go ahead.
Hi, my brother and I were talking. He's 66 and plans to work till he's 70 and wants to be able to save in some kind of fund to, like after he's gone, to help his adult autistic son. He's in like a group home, like a dorm building.
Yes. So he's, yeah. So the best way to do that, I mean, there's something called an ABLE account, A-B-L-E, which is very easy to set up, very low cost. The problem is, you're going to run into the limits on that pretty quickly. And if it needs to last him the rest of his life, you may not be able to put enough in there. And so that then involves something a little more complicated and costly, but will serve him well, which is a special needs trust. And you'd want to go to an attorney who specializes in this area. Your brother would set it up, or the two of you, you'd fund it with either cash or assets or investments or whatever it is. The individual with the special needs, would be his adult son would be named as the beneficiary. And then one of the key features is that it's structured in a way that preserves the beneficiary's eligibility for means-tested government benefits. So it keeps the trust assets separate from his son's own assets. It limits the control and, you know, his control over the trust, but it doesn't count as a resource for the purposes of determining eligibility for benefits like Medicaid and SSI. So it's a complicated process. It's going to be, you know, it's going to probably cost a few thousand dollars, but it'll set him up so that when you and your brother are gone, his son will have the assets he needs once it's funded, and it'll work well with the government assistance that'll be available. Does that make sense?
Great. Yep. That's what we were wanting.
Yeah. So it's called a special needs trust, and you're going to want to connect with an estate attorney to get that drawn up. Thank you for calling, Ellen. We appreciate it. To Indy, Indianapolis. John, go ahead.
Yes, Rob. Appreciate the ability to call in here. My wife and I have been paying for long-term care insurance for about 15 years now. We're in our mid to late 70s. There's been a class action suit against the long-term care company, informing us that the company's rating now is C++, with the note that that means that they're marginally able to pay for future. And so they're forecasting, even though we've had some pretty significant increases in these long-term care payments in the last decade, they're forecasting more to come. So they've offered some options. At this particular point in time, I don't know what the overall state of the industry is, but it's concerning enough that we're wondering if we should not canceling the account, but they offer some reduced options, and I guess the question is, what kinds of things should we be thinking about to make a decision about what we should do?
Yeah. Wow, that's a tough one, because I don't like that C++ rating at all. There's been a lot of consolidation in the industry, and we're left with a much smaller group of long-term care insurers that are really committed to this space and have the, you know, financial health to do it. There have been a lot of increases across the board in these premiums, in some cases dramatic increases, and that's just in line with what's going on in healthcare. The cost of healthcare is, you know, up dramatically, and these policies that are funding that are having to go up with it. And so it's affected, you know, what's going on just in the long-term care insurance space. But there are some clear leaders in this space. And so I think the question is, do you have the option to move over to one of those policies, or is it going to be too cost prohibitive for you just based on your age to try to start that process over? If you were to cancel the policy or let it lapse, I'm assuming there's nothing that would come back to you. Is that right?
Well, they actually, two of the options are to make no more payments at all, and but to reduce the almost half million benefit at this point to about 20% of that, but then lock in for that total amount, not have to pay anything more. That obviously assumes that the company remains solvent.
Yeah,
if we
exactly.
wind up needing to tap it.
Yeah.
So, that's where that's at.
Sure.
I mean, we have a pension that is very strong, so that if we were in long-term care facility, we'd be able to handle that. So I don't have
that's
to rely
good.
On an IRA or anything like that for it.
Okay.
So,
I mean, that may be your best option. I'm hesitant to say that that's definitively the right option, just because I don't know what the company is. I don't know what the options are. But I don't like the C++ rating on top of these dramatic premium increases. So I wouldn't continue just at a surface level. I wouldn't continue to throw more and more money at it. I think I'd probably be more inclined to stop paying and just ride it out with a greatly reduced benefit. But I think before I made that decision, I mean, you've got a lot invested here. I'd probably get an independent agent who specializes in long-term care to look at this with you, help you make a good choice. If you don't have one, I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Indianapolis on our website at faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional. Any of them could refer you to an insurance agent who's independent, who's a long-term care insurance specialist. I'd do that before I made the final decision. Sorry about this, John. I know this is tough. Thanks for your call. I'm Rob West. On behalf of my team today, Devin Patrick, Taylor Stanridge, and Autumn sitting in handling our phones today, on behalf of our entire team at FaithFi, may the Lord bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.